Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. It is that time of the month where we are talking Windows 10, and we are also talking with a potentially very relaxed Mr. Aaron over there, who just came back from a little vacation, if you will. It is that time of the season. And how is it going up in Seattle?
Aloha. It's Seattle is just the way I left it, amazingly, but we had a really great stretch of weather in Hawaii, and it was very refreshing to see that kind of we see the sun. We've actually had a fair amount of sun this year, but to feel like that 80 degrees and, you know, a warm breeze, because when the sun's out here, sometimes you're like, oh, it's so nice today, but then the breeze is always kind of cold Seattle, yep. But man, it was awesome.
There's only one word to describe how I am right now, and that would be jealous. although in Cincinnati, we are getting some great weather. Having been to Hawaii myself, and I think you were in Maui, and that's actually the only island I've ever been to out there, it's a different world. It is a different but very happy world.
Totally. I mean, the thing about it is I was actually born in Hawaii, and we moved when I was tiny, so I don't remember. I have no memory of, you know, any of that. And so I didn't go back until I was in my, I think, 30s. Okay. So it was always sort of just this thing, and did, you know, California beach time and, you know, the occasional Florida beach experience, but had never been back to Hawaii. So, you know, to kind of resume that, you know, that point was sort of really interesting. And the thing about Maui is it is just like the postcard, you know, it just delivers on the promise so perfectly. It was incredibly windy, and I'm sure some of our listeners were there, because I feel like most of the continental U.S. was in Maui, right? But it was super, super windy, but it was still nice and warm, and we were down in Kihei for most of it, and it was perfect. Oh, it was so nice, man. It was so nice. But anyway, we can pick it up. There's a lot to... There's a lot of juice right now, right? Windows worldwide,
yeah.
In terms of patches and all the stuff going on. And
all sorts of stuff. It's these podcasts are always interesting. One, because we typically talk about Windows, and we're sometimes at the burden of Microsoft, right? They've got to do things to give us to talk about, sometimes good, sometimes bad. I would have been appreciative if maybe they would have spread these out a little bit, because there's a lot going on. First off, we have Patch Tuesday that came out. There's 2 zero-day vulnerabilities that are being patched, which are pretty serious. But as Russell Smith wrote up for us today on Petri, he actually is hearing that people are having a lot of issues with these. If you're running a third-party antivirus...
Yeah, I read about that anyway. The interesting thing is sometimes, depending on what the nature of the patches are... just as I said on one of our first podcasts, sometimes we wait, so, you know, we also have policy that, you know, can force install and restart and kind of get more in your way, and you can, you know, you can still push it off a little bit here and there just so it doesn't disrupt work. But sometimes we can be more aggressive than other times. This was one of those times when it was really aggressively rolled out, and I'm glad, because based on what I learned about it, not one that you want to mess with. It looks like, you know, in going back to our last discussion about password management and enforcing strong passwords, if you have good password management, you're probably less vulnerable. But in the event that someone was able to get access to your device, they could do all kinds of bad things in terms of running scripts and things like that. So yeah, not one to mess around with, one to absolutely get done and take care of.
Yep, and just the small word of caution, if you are running third-party antivirus, which I'm curious how that market is evolving, because Microsoft is moving very aggressively, and not surprisingly, their product is not impacted by this, but on some installs of Windows 7 and Windows 10, users are running into login issues. But to your point, though, this is a very serious vulnerability that if someone knows that you're unpatched, they can pretty much just take over your entire network.
That's right, and it's one of these things where it is an intrusion-related problem, so I don't know that your antivirus would be able to stop this. So if you're saying, well, I've got this awesome antivirus software, and that's sort of in the way of pushing out these updates, but I have this awesome software, so it should be okay. Well, that's not exactly okay. It's more of an exploit than it is like a virus risk. So there's a problem. Now, what the exploiter might do on your system could end up being a virus, and maybe your awesome antivirus software would stop that, but it's still a good idea to take care of it. But you raise a really great question about sort of what's going to happen with antivirus software and the world of third-party antivirus software. We still use third-party. I think a lot of people do. I don't know what your situation is, but Brad, but we still kind of go to the bank on, you know, an outsider.
Yeah.
For a while, we were using Defender and, you know, a couple other, you know, Windows included things that were okay, but made the decision some years ago to go outside, and it's been, you know, I think part of it's manageability. Part of it is the way it played with, you know, the way that we are running mail and some of the other infrastructure decisions. And I think that our listeners probably deal with these exact kind of circumstances every day. And that's part of the context of this exact discussion, is that there's an entire infrastructure that comes to bear. Those of us who've been more aggressive in adopting cloud solutions, you know, have other factors that play into that. If you're still running everything on-prem the old way, you know, it's an increasingly complex world either way. So there's a lot of factors that go into that decision, I would say.
Yeah, and it's everybody has their own policies and how they think about things. But when things are really critical to your business, you have to. One of the things that always comes into my mind, and somebody told me this many years ago, if you look at Microsoft, they have a whole bunch of products, right? Their focus is on many, many different things. If you go to a company that all they do is antivirus, that's all their every day they wake up, we're antivirus, antivirus, antivirus. There's a merit to being like, you know what, maybe I should go with them because that is their whole livelihood. With Microsoft, right. It's not that they're going to build a bad product. It's that they've got, right, they've got Defender, but then they've got Windows 10, Windows 7, Azure, and they have all these products. And their mind share goes, you know, is split evenly as opposed to a company that only is trying to protect your infrastructure because their whole business depends on it.
True. On the flip side, though, you know, you think about a company like Microsoft that's, I believe, still the not only the largest company by value in the world, but the largest software manufacturer in the world, the resources they can deploy at a problem, you know,
that is true.
Like this is unbelievable. But as a result, maybe it's even more than sort of a matter of focus. It's the political risk, maybe, that a distraction could get in the way, or, you know, because not only at Microsoft, but at all large institutions, reorganizations, you know, the reorg as a corporate discipline, right? You have to be good at reorgs in order to survive in the enterprise these days. That could be a disruptor to teams like this. So perhaps that has, you know, some relevant bearing on this. Another really interesting thing that occurred to me as well regarding sort of the, you know, the antivirus being one of the interrupters or disruptors in this is what exactly that fact that these are independent organizations and this is all they do. And moreover, that they're often the ones finding this. Mm-hmm. So more to your point that, okay, who are you going to trust more? Someone who only does this, a firm, a business that has started just to do this, or a really big conglomerate that does, you know, mail and messaging and all this productivity stuff and all, you know, database services and, you know, the whole constellation of everything, right? But that it's, in fact, one of these exploits was discovered by, was it Alibaba or Tencent or someone like that?
Something like that, yeah.
And some of the past ones too, it's been Google that's discovered these. So number one, it's favorable, in my opinion, that there is sort of this collaboration. It's not so much like, haha, we know this and we're going to publicize this to take you down. It's really, hey, we all have skin in this game. Let's all get, you know, secure and take care of business and not worry as much about who gets the credit. I think that there's a lot to be said for where the industry is and where it's going with this kind of, you know, behavior cooperation.
Yeah. And speaking of all of these patches and all that stuff, Microsoft conveniently threw us another wrench into the Windows 10 servicing model. I believe this is the third time that they have made changes here, at least to some aspect of it. And so what Microsoft is doing this time around is that if you are running and this spans everything from home all the way up to enterprise, they're making it more flexible, which I think we can all agree is a good thing, but it's just something to be aware of. Patches, like the one they shipped on Tuesday, you can now defer up to 35 days maximum. And then feature builds, you can defer up to 18 months or whichever comes first, or if the current install you are on reaches its expiration. So this is inherently a good thing, but it's again sort of muddying the waters of what is Microsoft actually going to stick to for the long haul.
Sure. I you know, I feel like on these, Brad, this is a super positive thing for IT, for all of us, on multiple levels. The challenge, as you pointed out, is like, okay, here comes another change, and where are we now, and can we defer them or not? And you know, and again, just like reorgs are becoming a corporate discipline, this is becoming the IT discipline, right? The change to the way that Windows is delivered. I think that this will become the IT discipline, is keeping pace with what options we have in terms of pushing updates or postponing updates and things like that. But I think that more IT discretion can be a good thing.
Yep.
You know, in experienced hands, maybe it's not such a good thing. And too often now as well, we're seeing organizations spread so thin, IT teams being spread so thin, that they're just going to say, yup, here's an update, let's roll it out and live with the consequences, because we don't have the time to test and do our due diligence or worry about what's in this, because I'm putting out end user fires, I'm trying to, you know, stay ahead of the game on whatever, rolling out these other services and, you know, migrating CRM or whatever might be going on. There's so many competing priorities and so many, you know, business critical projects that are playing out simultaneously, even in an organization our size, much less larger organizations. So in the end, I feel like for most, this is a very positive development. It's no accident, obviously, that it's happening. This is something they've been working on and working toward. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we have always been scratching our heads about why is it being done this the old way in the first place, or I guess the way that it's still being done. And why isn't it more this way, where you have some discretion, and going back to the really old days when there were service packs that were distributed on optical media and all those kinds of things, wasn't that a delight that you could just keep running, you know, the core operating system and patch that, or take the whole service pack and, you know, add all the new stuff and, you know, it's sort of just interesting how it's progressed to this point, and that we're in a way stepping back to this old way of having IT more in control of it and having more in their hands. The other interesting thing is sort of the way that the order of events and the more, I guess, staged or protracted preview process for Windows 10 is interesting. It looks like it's spending more time in some of these previews and insider review than not. And in fact, this latest release, I think, is the start of that, right? They're going to spend an extra month or more with insiders, which I think also is a very good thing. You know, if things, for most of us, great that we can get more features, but it's great to have more time for test for no matter what. And again, for those of us who are really busy taking care of the shop, we're not as worried about it. Like if someone else can test it and we can have the confidence that it's coming to us better baked, all the merrier, right? Lower risk. We know what we're going to be able to roll out is going to be more reliable, and we're going to be able to take advantage of the features rather than get a bunch of features that we may or may not need. It's not like any of us, I don't think, are waiting with bated breath for that one other magical thing.
Right.
Most of us are just keeping the lights on. So cool, slow it down. Let's take our time and let's take it a piece at a time. But when we take it, man, it better be right. Right. Yep.
No, you're exactly right. That's what they're doing. They're putting this build, which is known as 19H1, into the release preview ring, and they're letting it sit there all the way until the end of May, and then they will push it out, which is such a stark contrast, because I had a conversation with Microsoft when they made this announcement. I've also, every time they do a release, they call me up and we talk about it. And they used to previously say words like, this is our most aggressive push out ever. We're going to get it out to as many people as fast as we can. And this time, it was like they took the chill pill and they said, we're just going to let this kind of slow bake. If people don't want to take it for 18 months, they don't have to, you know, do what you need to do.
Right. So this notion that, okay, not only now, so this 19H1, perfect example, it's gonna marinate longer. And then when it's out, you roll up to that buffet whenever you want. It's going to be there. It's going to be hot and ready whenever you're ready, right? It's no longer this, you know, it's going to be plated and served and you have to eat when we decide. No. Like this, I think this is a better way, right? I mean, it resonates with us in our organization, the way that we run things. you know, we haven't gotten a ton. This is new, brand new. We're talking about it. We haven't gotten feedback from our customers yet. But I, based on what we know about our customers, I have to believe this is going to be favorable. I'd be really curious, actually, what listeners' opinions are on this.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard to look at this and be like, ah, that's a bad thing. That's a bad
exactly.
But it does raise a new question. And this is where we can take a little bit of a gamble or whatever you want to call it, is with the Insider program, Microsoft would typically, when they say this build is done, they would put everybody on to the next build, which would be 19H2. This time around, they're doing things differently, and they're putting everybody on the fast and skip ahead rings on 20H1, which is going to be the release in a year from now. We don't know what's happening with 19H2. Microsoft will not tell us. There's a couple guesses. One could be that it's got some cool features in it and they're going to announce it at build. Another plausible guess is that maybe that they're moving to, you know, there's features in the spring and it's just kind of patching, almost like an R2 model for the fall. Or they've got something completely different. We don't know. You got any guesses or things that you think Microsoft might be doing with this upcoming fall release?
Build's a really good guess, in my opinion. I mean, that's a safe bet. They got to have something to talk about, right? Yep. And there's a lot going on. There's always a lot going on. But especially for the Windows team, that's a really, really great place. And so many of these sort of extensibility pieces, you know, to that developer audience that, who attends Build, that really seems like a logical place for some disclosure. I wonder too, Brad, if there isn't some you know, sort of inside track NDA, keeping things a little bit more on the down low, just in the same way that, hey, we're going to marinate longer and take this kind of, you know, eat when you're ready model, if the disclosure isn't going to play out that way too, right? We as IT people don't necessarily need to know what's coming, because what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, would we wait with bated breath and put off projects? I don't know anyone who would work that way. You work according to your business priorities. Yep. We're not going to run our priorities based on, you know, promises from our software vendors, at least in most cases, unless you have a very, very cozy relationship. Are you going to place those kinds of bets for these exact reasons? You know, what happens if it shows up not quite ready or it's got bugs, and then you're making some business decisions and taking some business risk based on that? Nobody would do that. So, you know, I think that there might be some credence to this notion that they're going to have the disclosure play out a little bit differently too. How, with that said, I still think Build is where we're going to hear at least some information about this. It's too juicy, you know, of information and a set of topics to too ripe of an audience for there not to be this kind of information. And even more so, probably roadmap beyond the H2 release, right? Okay, you're right. Here's what's coming in this next one. And that's sort of the forebearer of these other pieces or components that are going to be playing out thereafter, you know, or whatever. That there's a broader, and especially for that audience, not only sort of the broad strokes, but with a few nuggets of detail in there to keep people excited about it.
Yeah, because even though Microsoft it's not that Windows isn't a priority, it's just not a growth segment for the company. There's still, more than likely by the end of this year, roughly 1 billion people using Windows 10, not just Windows, but Windows 10. So it's not like they have a small base here. This is a massive product for the company.
And certainly,
so they've got to keep it interesting.
Yeah, and it is the nexus through which all the other services are consumed.
Yep.
Right, especially for the business. And so if you think about all of the products that Microsoft makes, you know, most of them are business to business products. You know, that, and that's who they're targeting. Consider the consumers of Azure. Yes, it ends up being a finished service that becomes, you know, whatever it might be, you know, whatever, an amazing transportation app or a, you know, a travel website or something is back-ended by Azure. But who are they selling to? They're selling to, you know, the amazing travel startup. You know, it's really a business-to-business play. Those people, they want to do their dev, hopefully on a Windows device. You know, they want them to write their presentations using PowerPoint on a Windows device, hopefully using Office 365. So all of this, Windows still is the platform, right? And it also is the way that, you know, it's still, I believe, the same kernel as Windows Server, right? I mean, I think that they're still, if it's not identical, it's still shared, and there's a lot of reasons to have it play out that way. So, yeah, I think you're exactly right. And especially in the context of this being, you know, the standard productivity machine. It's not going to disappear the way that people thought. Certainly not the way people thought, you know, 5 or 7 years ago.
Absolutely, completely and fully agree. It'll be interesting to see. Build is not too far away. Actually, I know it's about 3 weeks because I'm going to be, well, in your offices in about roughly 3 weeks from today. And so we don't have to wait too long. When we do this next time, we'll have hopefully all the, crossing the fingers, hopefully all the answers to that.
Yes. Yes. In fact, you know, perhaps some kind of friendly, a gentleman's wager. In fact, I don't know that we have many more of these, but I will bet you a Yeti tumbler.
Ooh.
That there is some juicy disclosure at Build about H2 release.
See, that's a bet I don't want to take.
I don't know what your counter bet would be, you know, if you've got some kind of Enterprise dish or Petri tchotchkes, but, you know, so some suitable counter.
I think we can do something here. I'm actually looking at something with some of our branding on it that will... As long as it's a little fragile, as long as it makes the flight up, or I might just hand you some dust. But
I'll even take it broken. That'll be great. So we'll both bring our rewards to the next recording, and then have a great in-person exchange. That'll
this
be great.
This will be good. This will be good. Well, as we enter the back of the book, you know, how was your vacation? What else is going on in the Smart Deploy world? What's happening in the great piney area that you're in? I love the smell
of
there.
A lot. I mean, I think that there's two sides of the story. One is how great time off is and how, and the value of the beach, right? We spent all winter talking about snow and I loved it and all of that, but man, there is nothing like watching the ocean.
Yep.
You know, I'm in my 40s now and always wanted to surf, and a few years ago on a family vacation, I did a surf camp. I was the oldest one there by about 25 years, which was pretty amusing to be, you know, you don't think of yourself as the old guy, but there I was, and had a really, really great experience. And it was, you know, had these instructors shoving you into waves, so it was kind of hard to not catch them. But by the end of the experience, I was able to catch them on my own, longboard, of course, for the people, the listeners who surf. Shortboarding is like a whole different thing. It's like the difference between driving a car and driving a motorcycle in a way. But, you know, the part of the great value of surfing for me is just sitting there and looking at the ocean. Yep. You know, which you can do from the shore. It's more or less the same experience. It is just such a really delightful thing. So there are friends, our listeners who are on the coast in sunny places where you have beach everywhere from, you know, whatever, New Jersey to Miami Beach. Mm. And, you know, I don't know on the West Coast where I would start, maybe Santa Cruz to, you know, the very tip of Baja. It's, man, it's something. And especially for the international listeners, Barcelona, the Caribbean,
yep,
points beyond Goa in India. I mean, there are so many spectacular places where the same thing happens. You know, it's just the greatest. On the business side, I've had sort of an interesting reflection. We've been talking to analysts. I have another analyst call later today, and there's sort of this really fascinating threshold that you could argue we've crossed, or maybe we're crossing, and it is this world of incredible complexity. And I wonder now if my children will understand as much as I do about how computers work, you know, because there's so much to know about how the cloud works and then managing that. And, you know, even for our audience of listeners, we probably have some younger IT people who didn't, you know, have to manage server devices the way that perhaps you or I had to in the early days. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you did kind of a traditional admin rodeo at some point, didn't you, Rob?
Yep.
I mean, yeah. So, you know, installing software on a device or even lower level, making a computer. You know, I mean, basic things, you know, and this sort of the nature of abstraction. I mean, we're on the way in the deep end of the pool here, but, you know, where we are and where it's going and what this means for the future, I think business reflection, which is favorable to us, is things are getting so complex. The job that we address has always been difficult. And the fact that we're able to make it doable by a human mm-hmm. is amazing. The fact that we're able to make it reliable and something you don't have to outsource, at least not as much anymore, is really amazing. So for us, we're seeing, I think that's at least partly attributable to why we're seeing the growth that we are. And we feel very fortunate indeed and lucky and, you know, weathered the bad times and are prospering in the good. But it's sort of just puzzling and amazing to me how incredibly complex everything is getting. And not even just in IT, you know, look at cars, you know, look at buildings for that matter, you know, elevators, the way elevators work in big buildings, you don't even push a button anymore. Right. I mean, it's just, I don't know, super, super, and maybe it was too much beach time where I was thinking about this too much or something, but it's, you know, it's been on my mind a lot. And so I hope that we don't lose that connection to the way stuff works in a way, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
That everything's not a dashboard and a management console, and it's just abstracted away and we don't have to worry about it and don't care to think about it. I don't know.
Yeah, getting dirty is. I actually built a computer last year just for that exact reason, because you can so easy just to go buy a box anymore and do whatever. And it was actually the podcast box we're using right now. It's because I wanted to control the whole experience. I wanted to know it in and out. And there's so many things, like even just like bus speed of the motherboard is really important for what we're doing right now, especially as you add more and more people. And you're right. You do. It's very easy just to look at a pane of glass every morning and be like, oh, hard drive number 17 is done. Let's just go rip it out. Like, that ability to just walk in there is missing sometimes.
Right. So there's incentive for people like me who are making products to be able to make that way, right? Because it's so complex. Well, there's really no way if we want to make it to make it manageable by a reasonable number of people to control scale, support a larger and larger business with the same or perhaps even a smaller IT team. This is how it's done. The downside is you lose touch with that aspect of it, right? I think the gaming community is really admirable for their commitment to exactly what you described. Like, I want it to be exactly the way I want it. I know the games I play. I know what they require. I know what's possible. I'm going to make it exactly the way I want. Someone makes something close, but then I know that my customizations are going to break it. And I'll give you another great example. We have a team of engineers, more kind of system engineers internally, who you know, wanted to run a bunch of test VMs. And so we said, okay, great. What do we need? All right, a system that looks like X. And found a great deal at Costco, right? I mean, it looked just right. Mm-hmm. An amazing, I can't remember, Core i7, phenomenal processor that was, you know, Optane capable and all this stuff. And that's amazing tech all on its own.
Yeah,
it looked crazy, like a DIMM this size is both your storage and your memory. Crazy. You know, get it here. And, you know, the other juice we wanted to add to it, even though the box was like, oh, expandable and it's great for all these purposes, and it didn't work. So back they went. Fortunately, we got them at Costco and they were happy to take them back. But we had to start over, and you know, because for exactly the conundrum we had, we ended up just going to an OEM and, you know, buying a stock device and adding the stuff that they recommended because we knew it would work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's sort of that notion that, oh, you know, the way that we want it to go may or may not be the way we want it to go. So we've got to find, you know, the vendors and suppliers who'll be able to help us get there, or invest in rolling our own and have that perfect, awesome custom experience, you know, which still to a number of people, again, gamers, being a key example is super valuable.
Yeah. If you want to do it, it's certainly possible, but it's not so much taught anymore because it's not always a skill you think you need, but it's I don't know. I enjoy tinkering around with that stuff. And I probably do it for beyond my own healthy reasons. I mean, it's almost an obsession at some point, just like, oh, I can move that fan and get slightly better thermals, and I can swap out the paste and do whatever, or I can add some more RAM, whatever. You can go nuts with that stuff. And I personally enjoy it.
And then the tools. Oh, I'm gonna overclock and see what I can get out of it.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna put this temperature sensor and see what the temperature is. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, and it's fun just to see what you can know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the joy of it too.
To assert your dominance over the machine that runs your life.
Yes, I'm in control.
Well, Aaron, we very much appreciate your time stopping by and welcome back from vacation. I'm sorry. In some respects, in the other side, I'm still jealous because Hawaii is a magical place.
It's great to be back and always great to join you, Brad. Thanks as always for having me.
Likewise. And next episode will be next episode with Aaron will be in his office. Maybe not that particular office.
Merry Seattle, yes. Hopefully it'll be nice and 50s and gray as always.
I hope it's a little warmer than that because we're getting up into the 70s on this side. But that wraps it up for today, everybody, on this edition of the Enterprise Dish. Make sure to hit the subscribe and all that good stuff. And we'll be back here again in the very near future.